When I was a lifeguard as a teenager, I would move people along based on where they're at in terms of their swimming capability. One of the greatest successes for me was teaching a 73-year-old man how to swim. Always wanted to know how to swim, never knew how to swim, and it was so neat to watch him blow bubbles in the water.
Did he come back up again?
He did come back up again. He went down for the count, but he came up. So now we're going to go diving. We're going to go deeper into the words of Romans 12, verse 2. And tomorrow we'll come up for air as we talk about the renewing of our mind. But now, just want to open with a little prayer. Lord Jesus, we pray for your Holy Spirit to bless us this afternoon as we continue to listen to and reflect on your word. May you continue the good works you have begun in us. To the glory of God, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So this afternoon, we continue our journey through Romans 12, 1-2, now specifically verse 2. We have looked at why we should live our lives as Christians, and that was last night, responding to the mercies of God. We've looked at what we are called to live this morning as Christians, to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And now we go deeper into the how. Into the how. How do we live our life of faith? Let me just read that verse 2 as we go on. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So I'm going to get Dave Golding, he's my great scribe. If you could put on there, do not be conformed. Okay, that's what's going to be the focus of this afternoon. Do not be conformed.
I'll do it in red then.
While he's doing that, when you think of the word conform, I think most versions have that. Do most have that?
Yeah.
What do you think of that word? What does that mean to you, to conform to something? Is it a good thing? A bad thing? A bit of both?
To be squished into a mold.
To be squished into a mold.
Yeah, but in an orchestra, to conform means all playing the same thing together in your own part.
Okay.
If you weren't conformed to driving codes, it'd be real mess on the road. It's bad enough now when you are.
To conform to the laws of driving.
I've got, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world.
Okay. Yes.
I want to be meshed into something.
So there's a bit of both, right? So sometimes conforming could be a good thing, depending. And other times it might be a negative. In our reading today, or in the verse, he's telling us specifically, do not be conformed to this world. Now other versions say that the world, or as it's said here, is really meaning this age. So it's not the world as the, you know, terra firma. It's this age. Do not be conformed to this age. I wanted to share a little story. Ever watch Candid Camera?
Yeah.
Remember that show? No, it had a remake back about, 15 years ago. But the original one that I grew up with was the black and white ones, actually, with Alan Funt, right? But there's one episode in 1962. 1962, okay?
Really? You weren't alive.
I was, too. I was alive. Yeah, I was alive. And this is still my hair, and it's really bad. It is. Okay. Imagine yourself, you know the show. So they would set people up, right? That's the whole idea of Candid Camera. Yeah. And you would go in and they would do something to freak out or whatever the person that's the target. Well, this one episode, it's in an office building, and the hidden camera is in an elevator. The elevator door opens, and a person walks in, and just like normal, what would you do when you walk into an elevator?
Step aside.
Okay. Step aside.
Push the button.
Push the button. And then you would
turn around,
and you face the door to see who else is coming in, if you have to move out of the way or whatever, right? So as this sort of skit goes on, door opens at the next floor, and someone walks in, right? Just like normal. The person's there, like Al's facing me, and just stands facing the back. And you get to see the expression on the guy, you know, who's standing there. Now it gets to another floor, the door opens, someone else walks in, and that person stands, looks at the back. So now you got two people looking at the back. And the guy, of course, is like, right? And it goes on again and again. And it's like three or four people, and they all come in, and they're all staring at the back of the elevator while the one guy is facing the front, which was the normal thing to do, right?
Better way to put himself.
Well, this is a good psychological experiment. What do you think the guy who is doing the normal thing does? He turns around. We don't think that we conform ourselves to this age, which isn't always good. There are many great things, but there are other things that are not good. And we do conform ourselves. And that's what we're going to go into this afternoon. Because we've learned why we should live a life as a Christian. What it means is to be, again, that living sacrifice. And now, he goes on, do not be conformed to this world or to this age. That's how you do it. To be a Christian means to be separate, set apart, live a different life, different expectations, different priorities, different outlooks. Now think about Jesus for a second. He did a lot of things that were not part of what would be expected. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what got him in trouble?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it did.
A man had a withered hand. And as some of you know the story, of course, he heals the man with the withered hand in Matthew. And he's condemned for doing that. Right? He's condemned for healing on the Sabbath. And there's other stories of Jesus doing things on the Sabbath. There's also Jesus breaking cultural norms, talking to a woman. He didn't do it. Unless she was a relative, you didn't talk to a woman, a stranger. A woman at the well, John 4, for example. Or how about the woman who came into the house of the Pharisee Simon with tears and the perfume and washed his feet, anointed his feet and wiped with her hair. All these things he did broke with the norm of society. Now, does that mean we are to be a rebel and to do everything we shouldn't do, be counterculture and all that? Well, maybe sometimes we should. Maybe sometimes we need to. And that's the challenge of living the Christian life. And that's the hard part. I can see it in you, right? Because no one wants to be unlike. No one wants to be targeted. We all want to be accepted.
Sure.
Ask any priest. We always want to be liked. We always want to be accepted. But sometimes you have to do things or say things that aren't always going to be welcomed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes as a Christian, we need to stand up. I was looking at the banner over there from 2014. What does God require of you? And those wonderful words from Micah 6. It's about doing the right, to love mercy and justice and all those parts of who we are to be as a Christian. That sometimes the world isn't always on our side, isn't always walking in step with us, because we start walking separate. But we do conform to the patterns of this world. Okay, who owns an iPhone? Hands up, iPhones. Okay, who owns a Samsung Galaxy? Right, who owns some other kind of Android phone? Pretty much everyone here has something, right? Now, is it the most and best? Maybe not. But isn't it interesting how many people will camp out at those darn stores when Apple is going to put out a new phone yet again? And they come out smiling to the cameras on TV as they hold their $1,200 new phone. Like, really? Okay. What about clothing? We do it all the time. There's not many people that will dress too crazy. We'll tend to dress much as society expects us to dress, right? You see that commercial on TV where the guy's eating a cereal, what is it? And he says, the whole thing about he decides to wear white after September.
Oh, yeah.
After December. Yeah, well, kind of crazy. Breaking the norms, right? But we do it. Clothing, hairstyles. You know, the odd time there were, I knew those who had the mohawks, right? Actually, there was one in CORE several years ago, an AYM that used to have the mohawks. Now he's a teacher. He's dealing with teenagers of the, anyway. That's another story. One thing that really sort of struck me, I was talking with someone at lunchtime, and it made me remember some of my own work at the Penetang Mental Health Center with the mentally handicapped, but also what was then HRC in Orillia, where was the others who had maybe Down syndrome and other mental disabilities were labeled that way, and they were sent there, right? I mean, there's been a whole bunch of stuff in the news not that long ago of reparation to some of the people who lived there, the residents. But society had dictated for decades that if you had a child who was born with a disability, you shipped them away. There were some who were exceptions. In my own parish, there's this wonderful, loving couple. The gentleman's about 88. He has two Down syndrome sons. One who's now in a nursing home, and one who's home. And him and his wife have devoted their lives to taking care of these boys, who, when they were born, would have been one of the ones shipped off. That's what you did. You didn't see them again, or people didn't see them again. Right? Even the most well-meaning actions can sometimes be one of conforming patterns. And then on the negative, there's crowds that become gangs and that do things that maybe people wouldn't normally do if they weren't in that kind of situation. Even whole countries, thinking of Germany in the 1930s.
Yeah.
How did well-meaning people, Christians, many of them of some denomination or other, get drawn into that gang mentality, group mentality? It happens. And the world tells us as Christians that we are the ones that are wrong. The world says that what is up is down.
Yeah.
What is left is right. What is true is false. What is evil is now good. And even what is good might be considered evil. I find it sort of humorous. I've had a chat with some of my friends down at the seminary in Virginia, where I do my doctoral studies, and they said, is it true your country is going to be legalizing marijuana?
Afraid so.
How did that happen? I mean, how did it go from being an illegal substance, and I'm not going to get into the argument about marijuana, where it's that's the law of the land, and somehow it's going to be changed. So everything has to be changed, the laws have to be changed, and the whole process has to be changed. And of course, it's interesting how the tax department's looking at how much they can make on it too. If there's money to be made, right? So what may have been wrong here is now right there. And then when we as Christians may stand up and say something's wrong, people are being treated unfairly. We stand up for justice or mercy, as we have in that Micah 6 reading. We're the ones that are called nutcases. We're the ones that are put down because we care that people don't have a place to live, they can't afford the rents. And when we say something to our local governments, we're kind of looked at like, what? Oh, we can't do anything about that anyways. But then there's other things that happen that draws us, even as Christians. There's many who go to church, and someone mentioned it earlier. You know, some might be with a person who isn't their spouse. Some, and today's culture is very much supporting this, people live outside marriage. There's less and less people getting married. They got to try it first for 20 years or so. Make sure it's right. There's people who cheat. There's people who cheat on many levels. That's not just taxes. There's people who do things to undermine other people. They'll hurt others, let's say, to go up that ladder, you know, in their positions, to make it to the top, stepping on people. And even the best Christians, depending on where they work, get drawn into the dirty jokes. Huh? All that kind of stuff. Looking at pornography. Yeah, now it's getting a little tense, eh? The culture has it all around us. Images are all around us. Words are all around us. You just pick up your phone, it's all that everyone has, and look for whatever you want. It's not hard anymore. When I grew up, it was going to my father's barbershop where he left all the Playboy books out there for all the men to have,
yeah,
waiting for their haircuts. Yeah.
They were just reading the articles.
That's exactly right. Yes, that's right.
Garage.
Yeah. Conforming to our age, conforming to be something we're not supposed to be. We're called to step out of it. To not conform. If we're to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, how are we to live our life? And some of you started talking about that already in your groups. Not long ago, someone did a sort of a summary of those talk shows on TV in the afternoon, you know, Dr. Phil and The View and all these other shows. And there was a whole bunch of what he listed as myths that come out of these talk shows. The very talk shows that there's millions of people who don't work or on shift work perhaps, they're home in the daytime. They watch these shows, and some of these myths, if you want to call it, and sometimes mess up the lives of people, say these things. And see if you recognize any of these. All of your problems are somebody else's fault. Somebody else's fault. Your kindergarten teacher wasn't nice to you. Your parents didn't potty train you right. And so on. Number two that this person noticed was, The world owes you happiness.
Yes. Oh,
the world owes you happiness. Number three, you'll never be happy until you get what you want. You'll never be happy until you get what you want. What do you think of that one?
You always want something more.
You always want something more.
And it always has to be a quick fix. It has to be instant now. Instant
quick fix, instant
gratification.
Instant gratification. But it never fills the gap, does it? It never does.
The most toys wins the game.
As soon as that hole's filled, you just need a bigger hole to fill. So
that's interesting. Yeah, as soon as the hole is filled, you have a bigger hole to fill. Yeah. Another myth. There is never any reason to feel guilty about anything. Guilt. It's a passé thing. It's not real. It's all in your mind.
Got a pill for that now.
Right? Got a pill.
Goes on to a few more things just quickly. One is, again, pornography is harmless. All beliefs of any kind are equally valid.
Rubbish.
You can have it all. This is another one. You can have it all. Another one, instant gratification one here. You shouldn't have to wait for anything. You can have it right now. And the last one that this person noticed, and again, these are out of these talk shows. These are things that he gleaned out of these talk shows. He doesn't use the specific word God, but the inference was that it was God. But because you are God, the answer lies within you. Because you are God. And think about the people that watch these shows. They're mainstream shows. You know? These are daytime shows. These aren't late night, 3 a.m. shows. These are things that people watch. And the more you hear, the more you accept it. It becomes part of who you are. It's how you think. It sort of rejigs you to think in a different way. And society has done that to each of us, whether we acknowledge it or not. We are a product of our age. Mm-hmm. We are. You know. So what can we do about that? Is there anything we can do? So again, I'm not asking you to just share at this moment, but just to think about that. Even how we look at people, some of the modern views say that people are important primarily because of what they can do for you. It's not about who they are as a child of God, but what can you get out of that person? Well, companies do that all the time with their employees. And then when they don't need them anymore, they discard them. We hear that too often, and sometimes in a very, very big way. Like Sears or other companies. Yeah. Public opinion defines what is truth. You know, our weekend about be transformed by the truth. Our truth is God's truth. What the world says, truth is defined by what people say. And that constantly changes. So what is true today will be different tomorrow, right? Everything is always changing. And can you think of that? Now maybe that's something we can take a moment and talk about that. So what is today considered a truth that maybe wasn't a truth when you were growing up?
You gave an example already of marijuana laws.
Marijuana, yeah. Reefer Madness. Yeah, ever see that movie? Reefer.
Scary. Well, I worked at Saudi Arabia and there only eliminated slavery 10 years before I went there. Wow.
Anything else?
You can be anybody you feel like being.
You can be anybody, yeah, you feel like you want to be.
Rock and roll will corrupt you.
Rock and roll. Yeah.
Elvis the pelvis.
Yeah.
Corrupted you.
Speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself.
These things are
mentioning, it seems like they want to feel like they want to give everyone a sense of that they're entitled.
Entitlement. Oh boy, yeah. Entitlement. There is such a sense of entitlement. Young people have that sense today, but adults too. And it all goes back again that you are the center of everything. And everything should be yours. I deserve it. I've worked for it. It's mine. And I'm going to do anything to get it.
I did it my way.
I did it my way.
I'm worth it.
Yeah.
I'm
worth it.
Not well.
We get shaped by these influences. But Paul is saying you need to step aside. And you need to fight these things. You need to stand up and say that what the world thinks isn't what I need to take onto myself and think. Here's another one. What about beauty? Mm-hmm. How is beauty defined?
What you look like on the outside.
It's what you look like on the outside. And there's a whole industry that tries to sell us an image.
Dave has three numbers for you.
24, 38.
And that's changed with time too.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Like 10, 10, 10.
But things like beauty are defined by society and has nothing to do with the beauty inside. You know, I think of the story in 1 Samuel when Samuel is sent to the household of Jesse, and he's told to go because he's going to be picking out the next king of Israel, because Saul, of course, had lost favor with God. And you know the story that Samuel goes and he goes through all the sons of Jesse. You know, this one with stature and he's hands, you know, he's strong. Well, this surely must be God's chosen. And God says no. And he goes on and on and on. Finally, to the point that, you know, Samuel says, well, is there anyone else? Oh, yeah, just a young kid out in the fields watching the sheep. Well, bring him to me. And God says, of course,
that's the one.
He's the one. I know there's biblical people here, right? What does God say through Samuel about how he chooses people, or how he...
You look on the outside, I look at the heart.
Right. We look on the outside, but God looks at the heart. Anything? Yeah?
In that passage, it says that God sent an evil spirit to Saul. Now, is this...
Well, that's before that. Saul lost favor for various reasons and became, I think today we would probably say depressed, and then perhaps other psychological things became, yeah. And the kingdom would be taken away from Saul.
He got hung up on his image. He thought he was only something because of the number of people he could beat in battle. That became his identity.
Right. So following the crowd, we all do it. But the only thing about following the crowd is that it's not life-giving. It's life-sucking. And we come out of it as those who go for instant gratification. We don't feel any more fulfilled. Many times we come out of it feeling unworthy. Society looks at us and we don't fit and conform, we feel useless. We feel uncompleted because our value is based on what the world says of us. And there's a lot of people who walk around who deal with a self-worth that is right down there because the world looks at them a certain way and treats them a certain way. Yet we as Christians, if we can just look with those eyes of Christ, and we talked about that before, and we see people for who they are, then we can have a compassion and a mercy that can make a difference in the world. Being a living sacrifice means to live our lives, live our faith, but not letting the world tell us how we are to do things or how to live our lives. Greg Goldsworthy mentioned St. Francis of Assisi. There was that time he mentioned And St. Francis is one of those people that I've always been drawn to, because he was someone who stepped out of the norm of the world. And most of you know the story of St. Francis, right? He was the son of a wealthy merchant, and he had a change. He had a change in life. God had spoken to him. God called him to build up his church. And it came down to the moment where he gave up everything, literally. Taken off his clothing, they say, and gave it to his father. And sort of walked away. And of course, he was covered up by the bishop of his town with a brown, you know, that rough kind of cloth. And that became what was known as the clothing that the Franciscans would wear and become part of their identity. But Francis gave up and didn't conform to the world so that he could reach out to the world. He reached out to the sick, the lepers, the poor. He did things that drew the attention of other people that saw that he was doing something different. He didn't plan on starting an order, but eventually he had about seven or so who joined him. Eventually Claire, a woman who was also from a wealthy family, was drawn to the work of Francis and became the one who would be known as St. Clare, and the family of the Poor Clares, another order, a female order. When we step outside the norm, we are seen, we're identified. But we shouldn't be afraid of that. We shouldn't be afraid that others are going to point fingers at us. Like Francis didn't care. He did what needed to be done because God inspired him and used him as a vehicle of compassion. And as Francis was making a difference in Assisi and around, people were drawn to him. So think about it. If we as churches who say we're struggling and we don't know what we're going to do to grow or how we're going to draw the young people in, if we actually did things that are going to make a difference and we're not afraid to do it, if we were a presence in our community in ways that wasn't just to try to raise money to keep the churches going, if we're out there making a difference, that gets noticed. And people will be drawn to that. Not everybody, but there are people who are drawn to those who do the work of Jesus. There are people struggling out there. They don't want the institutional church. We know that. I don't think that's a secret to many of us here, even though that sort of puts our back up because we are the institutional church. But what they want is a relationship with God in a way that is meaningful to them. They want to know, and the millennials, you hear that word all over the place, millennials want to know that they make a difference. They don't want the structures, but they want to know that they can connect with God in a way that is going to send them out to do something, maybe charitable perhaps, or something that's going to change the lives of people in perhaps in their town or in the world, whatever it is. They're not looking for the structures, but they're looking for a connection with God. So we as churches need to show that we aren't of the world. We are different. But different in a way that isn't trying to say we're better than you and get into that pious type thing, because there's lots of churches that do that, and I don't want to be near those churches either. But I want to be in a church that has a heart for living the gospel life. I want to be in a church that's going to make a difference to people. We talked about that earlier, sharing our gifts, reaching out, doing the work of Christ. God has lavished grace upon us. I know, I love this word, lavished us with grace. And God sees the value of everyone around us and calls us to stand up, to not conform to the world, and make a difference. In Romans chapter 8, a little further back, starting at verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Then he goes on to say, but if you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. And he goes on to say at verse 11, chapter 8, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. So how do we not conform to the world? We allow the Spirit to work in us. We allow the Spirit to empower us. If that same Spirit that raised Jesus had that power to raise Jesus, the same Spirit can raise us up and strengthen us and give us the direction that we want. We can be a voice of love and of compassion and peace. We can speak of love in a very different way than the world speaks of love. We can speak of beauty in a way that is very different than the world speaks of beauty. But ultimately, it's still our choice. We either allow the Spirit into our lives to work or not. And that's what Paul just said in chapter 8. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's verse 13 of chapter 8. So what are we going to do? Are we going to allow the world to tell us how to live our lives? Are we going to allow the world to tell the church what it can be?
No.
So if we did that, what would happen? What would happen?
There would be no church.
It would cease to be the church.
We would cease to be the church as we know it. We would become a part of the world if we allow the world to change us, that we conform to it. But if we are Christ's, then we are to be in that image of Jesus. So not conforming to the world is so important. And the one last image, as I see Paul's hand there, that wonderful image in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 18, the potter's wheel. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. And the word of the Lord came to me, can I not do that with you, O house of Israel? Just as this potter has done, says the Lord. Just like the clay in that potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I know he's talking about the house of Israel as a whole, people of Israel, but God does that with us too. If we allow, and it hurts to be shaped. But it's a different kind of shaping than the conforming that Martin mentioned of being squeezed into sort of a shape. We can be shaped by God if we allow. And the shape we have is one that does not conform to the world. We can make a difference. So as you head off to your groups shortly, there's so much more I'd like to do. I wish I had an hour for this part.
We have more time.
Okay. So the question I wanted just to leave with you is, how have I conformed to this world? How have we given in? We all have, and whether you want to share that with anyone or not, I don't know. And is it possible to be in the world but not of the world? How do we do that? What does that look like? So a couple of questions to consider. So just let us bow our heads in prayer. Loving and gracious God, you call us to be in the world, but not of the world. You call us to live as Christians, to not be conformed to this age. We pray that through your Holy Spirit you can strengthen us and guide us that we may do so. Help us to be the light that shines in the darkness. Help us to be the voice that speaks of mercy and justice. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Give us a few things to discuss. A few questions maybe that we can start off.
Oh, I did.
Oh, sorry.
Let's
just recap the questions.
Okay,
just gotta go back to that.
So sorry.
No,
that's okay.
Just to refresh.
Yep. So the questions, I kind of had two. How have I conformed to this world? How have I given in? How have I bought the world's way of living? Attitudes, perceptions. That's a big question by itself, right? And then the second part of the question is it possible to be in the world but not of the world? Again, all relates to conforming or